A sneak preview. Now, Nicodemus is a leading Jew, and he sneaked, as they say, away from his religious community to have one of the most profound, yet very perplexing conversations with Jesus that anyone had had with Jesus up to that date. Essentially, Nicodemus wants to know how one is able to discern the realm of God in the midst of the clamor of human activity, amidst the clamor of everyday life. He's afraid of being embarrassed and mocked by his peers, so he seeks Jesus in the privacy of the evening hour, when the religious community would have no way of knowing such an encounter was taking place. Nicodemus wants to sneak a preview of this mysterious Galilean. He wants to know who this Jesus is. What he needs is what we need. What he needs is what you and I need, a relationship with Christ that is born from above. I've kind of divided this up into four parts this morning. The first part is verses 1 and 2. We still seek Jesus privately. Why are we so afraid of others discovering that we are interested in Christ? You see, Nicodemus' dilemma remains our dilemma today. We still get sweaty palms at the thought of our friends, our work associates, our neighbor, even our fellow church members might find out that we really do believe in Jesus and that He is God's Son, the Messiah, one sent to save us from our sins and give us new life, even eternal life. Some people still find it hard to let others know that they believe. You see, the thought of someone finding out that we actually believe that He healed the blind Bartimaeus, turned water into wine at a wedding reception, and raised Lazarus from the dead frightens people. It frightens us. We may nod our heads in the affirmative, but, or even say in worship service once in a while, amen, to such claims of the Spirit. But in private, we are just not sure about all this stuff about miracles that Jesus performed. People will say, are you sure that He did all that? Do you really believe? You see, like Nicodemus, we have our own reservations. And to confront them means to seek Jesus out in the privacy of our own darkness. Sometimes we do have to find Him and say, okay, God, are you sure about all these things? Truly, truly, I believe. The second part comes from verses 3 through 8, born from above. You see, Jesus is very serious about this matter of being born from above. In order to discern the activity of God in the midst of clamor and chaos of human affairs, one must be given life from above, from God above. In order to believe in just the work Jesus performed, we must have a relationship with God. Wow. In order to believe in just the work that Jesus performed upon this earth, we must have a relationship with God first. We got to know Him. You see, for some folks, being born again is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's that mountaintop moment. And it's usually an emotional, life-changing experience at some point in one's life. But you see, John's gospel today speaks of something quite different. What Nicodemus' sneak preview is more about a mystery than it is about chronology. It is being born again is about looking back. Being born from above is looking inward. Being born again is looking back at what we have done and what we've done wrong and letting go of that. But being born from above is looking inside our very heart and our very soul at what we have done and how we believe and do we really know. Are we really trusting? Are we really serving? Are we really knowing that God is Lord of our life? Are we truly proud to let others know that we are a Christian? Are we truly living our life in that effect? Number 3. Verses 9 through 15, the need for evidence. You see, it still seems impossible to us. We fill the baptismal font or the pool, and we baptize men and women and children. And at the age of 12, or that sixth grade age, the youth are enlisted in confirmation class. and for months, in some cases even a year, they are instructed in the teachings of Jesus. Now, as much trouble as I've had over the years keeping kids from January to March or April, I can't imagine telling them that they got to study for a year. I could just hear that right now. Are you kidding me? They have enough time. But they pay attention, they listen, they serve, they share, they ask questions. And that's the point, is that they ask the questions. They want to know, they want to learn. Upon completion of their classes and going through the rigors of testing, because they have to memorize a lot of stuff, the confirmands are paraded before the church and confirmed as members of the Church of Jesus Christ. Sometimes in churches, baptized adults, while not going through that confirmation process, nonetheless, they get signed up for orientation classes once in a while, and for a period of time are instructed about what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a member of Christ's holy church. After all of this, where is the evidence that any of the above has any influence on people? Why are churches filled with people but not filled with things from above? To take Jesus seriously, we are called to believe. We are called to believe and not reject God's Word. To look around this world that we live in for evidence of things from above, things from God. We have to be disciples of God's Word and claim the evidence that is given in the Gospels as our very own. We got to believe it. We got to own it. We got to know it. We have to share it. We hear from God's holy Word things from above. How are we going to know it's the truth? How are we going to know? People will say, well, you know, I watched that on TV. I saw that in the movies, and that's what they said, so it must be in the Bible. Well, let me tell you. Please don't take that as your point of reference on anything, as something that was Hollywood made, please. Because they like to put things together. They like to add one to the other and make it a pretty story. You know, we do that ourselves. We talked about this in Bible study this past week, talking about some of the new movies that are out there about God's Word, about the beginning, the one that's coming out with Noah. I mean, all kinds of stuff we talked about. And how we like to take stories in the Bible and merge them together so that they make a better story. The main one we talked about was the one that we do when we in the season of Advent, when we're talking about the birth of Jesus. Luke's gospel tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared and spoke to Gabriel, and he went and told who? The wise shepherd people out in the field. Those people that were the good shepherds that were out there leading the sheep. And they in turn went to the stable. But we also like to take Matthew's gospel into account, and we like to say where he went, and those magi, those wise men, heard and saw, and all of a sudden they come in too and bring him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we put it all in our little Christmas pageants and things that we do because it makes the picture look prettier, doesn't it? Because we got these wonderful kings coming along. Well, see, they didn't show up at Jesus' birth. They weren't there at Jesus' birth. They showed up sometime later when he was living in a house with his mom and his dad. And he was a toddler. He was about 2 years old. That's when the wise men came to see him. But yet, we put it all together. It makes our nativity scenes look better, doesn't it? It makes our little Christmas pageants look better. And we've come to believe that it all happened at one time. And that's become our truth. When really and truly it's not. When we look at God, we read it, but we like to put things together to make it sound better, to make it look better for us. So we need to think about it. You know, so many times, you know, people leave the nativities out. And lots of times the Christ child is not put into the nativity until when? Christmas Eve. That's when it comes. And then, of course, later on, they'll leave it up, and then later they'll add the Magi coming one at a time, because you're supposed to leave it up for a long time. Well, we're doing that here because we've left ours up in the cabinet downstairs. And they still look mighty beautiful and good because it reminds us that it is a story always that is with us. It is a story that is ongoing. It's a story that reminds us that our Lord came into this world very natural, very human. He was born. He came into this world very innocent, very pure, just like any child does. But He also came into a world full of chaos and not knowing and not understanding. He came into a world that didn't understand what was going on. He came into a world and He grew up in that world, to a world that still didn't quite get it. He lived His life and shared His life with a group of people who didn't quite get it. He called out men and women from around Him to come and follow Him and be His disciples. And they followed Him for years and they still didn't quite understand it. He calls you and I to the same thing each and every day. And you know, we just don't always get it. But the fourth thing today is from verses 16 and 17. It says that we need to return to the basics. It is the most quoted and the most familiar and probably the most unbelievable of all of Jesus's that He told Nicodemus is that in that sneak preview that He got that night. He tells him, He says, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that whoever, anyone, everyone who believes in Him may not be lost but will have life eternal. You see, that's a ray of light. It begins breaking forth into Nicodemus' darkness. He begins to see something. Something begins to be birthed from above. Nicodemus isn't being born again. Something begins to happen on the inside of him, and it's coming from above, from God. He's beginning to understand in his heart and his soul. But you see, there is another scripture that does not get quoted quite as much, and it follows in tandem with John 3:17. For God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, not to condemn it, but so through Him the world might be saved. Born again people can continue to condemn the world. People born from above cannot and will not condemn the world. See, if you're born from above, if you truly believe from the inside out, you're not going to change. You're going to be, wow, it's always going to be new. You're going to be expecting something. You're going to always be wanting. You're going to be wanting and knowing and telling, and people will see it. They will know it in the way you live and the way you are. Oh, what a sneak preview Nicodemus had. What had followed from the encounter at night between Jesus and Nicodemus has been breaking forth in the lives of people ever since that very night. It is showing up over and over and over again. As disciples of Jesus Christ continue seeking a sneak preview every time we are confronted with believing in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have that opportunity again, each and every time, to share what we know, to share our faith, to let it be known, to let others see, to let others believe. That is our opportunity to always be there. You see, Nicodemus was afraid of what others would think. He was afraid of what others were doing. He was afraid of his own Christianity. He was afraid of what was going to happen if he believed, because he was that high Jewish leader. Sometimes we get caught up in being something that we're not, that we can't serve God where we are. Sometimes we get caught up in being a little too big for our britches. Have you ever heard that statement? Usually it was in reference to doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing or getting in trouble. Young lady, you're a little too big for your britches. You better bring it down a notch or two, or I'm going to bring it down for you. I've heard that a time or two in my life growing up. You better watch it. How many times do we think we're just a little bit better than someone else? How many times have we missed the chance to share God's Word? How many times have we missed the opportunity just to be who we are? Think about it. How do we reveal ourselves to others? How do we share our lives with others? What are we doing? What are we doing? Do we truly believe that God loved us so much that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life, have life eternal? And do we believe that our Lord sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but through Him the world would be saved? If we truly believe that in our heart and our soul, oh my goodness, we are born from above. And if we are born from above, no one can do anything about it. They just need to watch us glow. Let us pray. Lord, thank You so much for this day. Thank You, Lord, for the sneak preview that You gave Nicodemus. Thank You, Lord, for always one, always, to be that one that we always go to be that one that we are renewed and restored from, to be that one with that amazing, saving, redeeming grace that saves us each and every day, that allows us to grow stronger, that allows us to walk with You each and every day. So, Lord, in this moment, give us Your mercy, give us Your grace, give us Your peace. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 364. Because He Lives. Always know that our altar is open for you to come. Stand as we sing hymn number 364, Because He Lives.